Yudches Sif Bey. So last week we discussed the dinim of and Shiv Yudches Sif Aleph was concerning what happens if somebody's Machal Shabbos and cooks, or if somebody's Machal Shabbos and does any malach. So what is the status of that food? What's the status of that object? Okay, that was last week when you did it for Isser. This week is if you did a malach, a Shabbos, beheter, if you were permitted to do it. Oh, how are you permitted to do it? A chola, something like that. If you, one is permitted to do something for whatever reason, so then what's the status of that food? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Chulin, of all places, that one must turn to. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin begins by saying that if somebody shechs for a chola on Shabbos, it is prohibited for a regular person. I mean, if somebody, right, if somebody needed meat, I need meat. Someone's dying for meat, right? And the...
is there such a thing?
Yes.
Somebody who needs meat.
The Gemara had this idea.
Yeah, so it just be something that the person needs, that needs, there's an Isur, the Raisa, to do it on Shabbos. It doesn't have to be...
Right, but it needs
to be a particular medicine.
But it wants it specifically to be for Shkita. You'll see for the dinim here. That's certainly the case. I remember...
But there's no real situation in which a sick person will die if he doesn't get meat. No.
The Gemara the scribe talks about a woman who's pregnant and requires meat. So she says she wants meat. Right, no, that's what it means. She's going crazy. She needs a piece of meat. There's a whole gesugya in Yuma about this.
Back in the day, there might have been other situations where you need meat. Now you can buy vitamins and all this other stuff.
Right. So that was the assumption.
Right. Why would you need it on Shabbos? It's
you're so
like
weak
right.
That you're going to die if you don't get some spell soup.
The Gemara raises this issue. Again, we could dispute the facts, but you can't argue. The Gemara's assumption of the facts is that if one needed to shech for chol on Shabbos, it's prohibited for a healthy person to eat from it. Okay, hamavasha l'chol of a Shabbos. If you cooked for a sick person on Shabbos, again, if you're sicking or if you're sick,
that's the Gemara.
That's,
are you reading Gemara now?
Yes, I'm reading from the Gemara. Right. The Gemara flips. Right, I'll point that out. The Gemara flips in a minute. That's how it's all exciting. The Gemara says if you shech for Shabbos, it becomes it's prohibited for everybody else. And if you cook for someone else on Shabbos, so then it is permitted for everybody else. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara flips it around. The Gemara says, "Oh, not exactly." The Gemara then turns around and says, "No." If the person was, we could come up with a case where it's the opposite. The Gemara says that if the person was sick before Shabbos, such that you had a feeling that you were going to have to shech for them on Shabbos. Now, if that's the case, why did you shech for them before Shabbos? Mm-hmm. Yes, it was because, either because you didn't, whatever, and the person's still sick, so you need to take care of them. Or second of all, there was no refrigeration, right? So you had to, if a person needed fresh meat on Shabbos, you had to shech for them on Shabbos. So, if the person was sick before Shabbos.
By that thinking, then any meat on Shabbos would have to be shechted on Shabbos, because even just a normal course of a Shabbos, if you're saying that there's no refrigeration, and if anybody's going to have meat on Shabbos, it has to be shechted on Shabbos.
No. You shecht the Erev Shabbos for Friday night, and then you salt it, or you leave it in the chillin for Shabbos day, or... You have to be creative when it comes to meat. It's that important, you'll figure out. So then, what's the other side of it? So the other side, however, then the Gemara says, no, if the person was sick from before Shabbos, and you shecht for them on Shabbos, so then the food is actually permissible for everybody else. And then the Gemara says, however, if you cooked for a person that was sick, so the person that is healthy is not allowed to eat from that food. Why is the person that is healthy not allowed to eat from that food? So the Gemara says, Shema Yarba Bishvilo. Perhaps you may cook extra on behalf of that person. If you cook extra on behalf of that person, so what have you violated? So you violated Bishul, right? You violated, you're not allowed to throw in the extra food in order for it to be cooked. Now, we'll see the Mishnah Berurah has a little bit of a dispute here about, remember we had this in Hilchos Yontif as well, right? That there's two ways of cooking more than is necessary, right? Number one is you put something on the fire and then you pour in more and more and more and more and more and more. Therefore, each time you throw something in, that is an act of cooking. right? Or the other way to doing it is you pour everything in, and then you put it on the fire. If you put it on the fire, then that is only one act of cooking. It's only one malacha of cooking. So perhaps that might not be as strict in this case. Okay. So now again, at the conclusion of the Gemara is. The conclusion of the Gemara is that if you shecht for somebody on Shabbos and the person was sick from before Shabbos, so then it's actually edible for everybody on Shabbos. And if you cook for someone on Shabbos, so another person is not allowed to eat it at all. Why? So they introduce this idea of Shema Yarmi Mishpil that you're going to cook more on their behalf.
So Durabanan.
So that would only be Din Durabanan, yeah.
So if the person was not sick before Shabbos.
Right.
So same thing apply.
Right. So why is there a difference? So why is there a difference between whether the person was sick before Shabbos versus whether they're not? Right? Having knowledge of something from before Shabbos versus not having knowledge of something before Shabbos turns your attention to what area of Hilchos Shabbos?
Muktzah.
Excellent. Right, so that's what the Gemara is trying to say. The Gemara is trying to say that if you knew the person was sick from before Shabbos, so you knew that that animal was going to have to shecht. So that animal you had in mind, I'm going to be using that animal doesn't become muktzah. Right? At least according to the Gemara at this point. Right? However, if the person became sick on Shabbos, so therefore you have no clue that you're going to be doing anything to do with an animal on Shabbos, right? So that animal is muktzah. So for that person, sikkanas nefashos, he's allowed to eat from that animal. But for everybody else, you're not allowed to eat from that animal. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Okay?
It's probably a little plug. If you cook for somebody, and he said, I changed my mind, I don't want it.
Right.
I can't eat it, I don't want it.
Right.
So you still, somebody else still couldn't take it.
I would assume so, yeah. I thought I would bet. I mean, that food has a status of food cooked on Shabbos. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shin Yud Ches Beis. Hashulchan b'Shabbos l'chol b'ein shechola mi'ekel b'ein shechola hayom. So the Shulchan Aruch quickly says, takes care of this din. Right, one who shechts for someone on Shabbos, for a sick person on Shabbos, whether he was sick from the day before or whether he's sick today, mutter haberia lechol mimenu. A healthy person is allowed to eat from it. Chai, as long as it's raw. Aval hamavashe v'shabbos. Aval hamavashe lo asi shar malacha l'chola aser v'shabbos l'chola.
We're
concerned that we're going to cook extra on their behalf. So now, right away, the first thing that hits you is, wait a second, the Gemara made this distinction between whether you were cooking, whether the person was sick before Shabbos or not sick before Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch explicitly seems to be going against the Gemara. Right? The Shulchan Aruch explicitly seems to be saying, no, it doesn't matter whether you were sick the day before, whether you were not sick the day before. So why is the Shulchan Aruch going against the Gemara? So the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch is based on many Rishonim already point this out on the Gemara, that the Gemara is not really going l'halacha. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah right away says, V'lo amrina de behema hi muksa. Right? If you're saying that the person became sick today, so obviously we're not dealing with a muksa issue. Why? So we don't say that the animal is muksa, Mishnah Berurah says, why? Machmas iser, de kase b'bein hashmashos, machmas iser shchita. That it was muksa during bein hashmashos because of the iser shchita. Why? Shebi oso pam lo hayachola adayin. Because at that moment the person was not yet sick. Sheyadaito aleha l'shachta, that you would have had possibly in mind to shecht it. The anan kaimelan, because we really hold like Rabbi Shimon, the leis lo muksa ela hecha d'dachi biyadayim, because we hold like Rabbi Shimon that there's no muksa unless you explicitly said I am not going to be using this. Could go near shehedliko aleha ba'oso Shabbos, like a candle that was lit in the beginning of that Shabbos. The dechia biyadayim shel lishtamish ba'oso Shabbos, that I have physically created a way of showing that I am not going to be using it on Shabbos. Kibbutz shehedlikba aval gavi behema lo dechia biyadayim, that an animal you weren't docha biyadayim, an animal you didn't move off with your hands. So this is a very important law in Hilchos Muksa. Right? We thought we were learning Hilchos Mushel. We're going to be learning Hilchos Muksa tonight. We're going to be learning Hilchos Melicha tonight, and we're going to be learning Hilchos Bishul Akum tonight. Okay, all contained in this little innocuous. So we hold like Rabbi Shimon about this din. What's this din that we're holding like Rabbi Shimon? That the din of Bein Hashmashos, that what's this din that everything in the world becomes Muksa and Bein Hashmashos? So Rabbi Shimon is saying, it doesn't mean everything in the world. I mean, I have to go around saying, I'm going to use this safer, I'm going to use that safer, I'm going to use that safer, I'm going to use that safer, I might use that safer, I might use that safer. Oh, and those pajamas, I'm going to wear that pair of underwear. That's not what it means, that if I didn't set it aside for use on Shabbos, it's okay. It only means that things that there's something showing that I'm not going to use it on Shabbos. Those are the things that become muksa. But so
I understand that the lamp. They lit it for him.
No. A general case of lighting a candle on Erev Shabbos, right? So I'm not allowed something that was lit on Erev Shabbos. I'm not allowed to move. A lit candle is muksa on Shabbos. Kuli avolokli, right?
Okay. I just thought I wasn't going to get benefit from it. I said, why not?
No. Yeah, right. A lit candle is muksa on Shabbos. Okay, so by me lighting it, I've done something physical to it to demonstrate that it's actually going to be muksa.
Okay.
Right.
So an unlit candle, like the candle.
So an unlit candle might be muksa for other reasons.
Okay.
I mean, if it becomes useful on Shabbos, so then I'm allowed to use it. The din of bein hashmashos, right, imposing a status of muksa on things. I mean, anything that's not usable on Shabbos, or anything that's a klisha malachdalis on Shabbos, all those things are muksa, right? The only thing is, right, and so is the animal. The animal, in theory, is muksa also, right? Because there's no use for the animal on Shabbos. What am I going to be using the animal for on Shabbos, right? It's a muksa. But now there's a use for it on Shabbos. So do I say, well, it wasn't usable, bein hashmasho, so therefore it's going to be muksa for all of Shabbos as well? So that's what they're saying no. That unless the person specifically said, I'm not shechting you on Shabbos no matter what, or something like that, so then there won't be a problem of muksa of the gabe that animal. Okay, so that takes care of number one. So even though the Gemara says that's what the Beis Yosef is from here and here, right? So even though the Gemara said that that this shechted meat would only be permissible for a it was evident before Shabbos that I was going to be shechting this animal for the person on Shabbos. Right, that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Shimon. That stuff will be permissible as well. That if you shechted an animal on Shabbos, then it will be permissible on Shabbos, whether or not the person was sick before Shabbos.
Once I'm matering an isur deraisa because of a chola sheish bo sakana, why would I even think that the idea of muksa would even come in?
No. For that person, it would be muksa. It wouldn't be. For that person, for sure, it would be okay. I want to know if I could take a bite also. Right? That's the question. Right? It's not muksa for him, but it's a muksa for me. Right? It's a muksa for me that I won't be able to eat from. Okay? All right, so what's that was din number one. Asu liberia ola chola she'im bo sakana. Why? The chayshin and shema yarbe bishvila. Because we're concerned that we are going to eat extra for that person. Right. So let's knock off a few Mishnah brewers here. Right, mutar haberia, right, hatam kev d'ikar shchita l'tzar chol, because we're really doing it for the chola, and it's not possible to only shecht a kezayis of basar, right? That won't work too well. So therefore, there's no din of that I may increase. I mean, I can't shecht more cow in order for me to eat, unless I shecht the second cow for me to eat. But that's not very soon that you're not going to do that. Shecht the cow, there's extra meat around, you'll have to take a bite.
What if it's a chicken?
What?
What if it's a chicken?
Right, so if there's no leftover I'm allowed to eat that chicken.
I'll have to eat that chicken, but you don't worry that I might shift two chickens.
Right. So that's what the chiddush here is that I'm not concerned that you're going to do two. Right. So what about, so then the Shulchan Aruch adds in something, chai, you're allowed to eat it raw on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook, right? That's what he said, you're not allowed to cook. So you have to eat it raw. So there's a problem if you do it raw. What's the problem if you eat something raw?
It's not healthy.
Besides that, it's not healthy. Halachically, what's the halachic problem?
Eating dam,
right, that's a problem. So Rashi, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sif Katan Yud, Chai b'Shabbos uvelo melicha, and you're not doing melicha, why? The Asur limloch b'Shabbos. and you're not allowed to, because you're not allowed to do melicha on Shabbos. Why are you not allowed to do melicha on Shabbos?
Extracting the blood?
Yes, I'm not sure. I was just wondering, what is the problem? I can think of a couple issues. Number one is, right, it might be an issue of dash. You're extracting liquid from a solid, right? You're trying to get the dam out of the solid. The second thing you might violate is an issue of bishul. That using salt, the idea in halacha, the idea of salt is considered cooking it. That you're bringing heat to the thing in order to draw out the blood. So whatever malacha you're violating, there's some kind of malacha. And Bob, you're not allowed to do malicha on Shabbos. So you're not. So how am I going to eat this meat if I'm not doing malicha on it?
And we're not talking about a chola here, right?
No, we're talking about the regular person. The chola could cook it.
Yeah, right.
If he needs it to be cooked, he can cook it. Ha'uvelo malicha de aser limloch b'Shabbos, because you're not allowed to do malicha on Shabbos, right? Hadacha bai. However, you do need to do hadacha. You do need to wash it off. Mishum dam be'ein, because the dam is there. Mash'ein kein dam habalua bo leka iser. However, the dam that's absorbed in it, there's no prohibition. Kol zman shelo perish, as long as it hasn't left. So this is an important halacha in Hilchos Melicha, right? Melicha has three parts to it. There's hadacha rishona, when you wash the entire thing off, and then there's melicha, when you put the salt on it, and then there's hadacha achrona, when you wash all the stuff off again, right? So you're saying you had to do hadacha rishona, because there's it's a bloody piece of meat, right? So you got to wash off all that blood. You're not violating any melachas and shas by just washing off the blood. Okay, so now what about the dam that's contained within the meat? So the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out, it's not his own chiddush, this goes back to the Gemara, that the only dam that's iser is dam sheperish. That if dam comes out of the meat, that's when the dam becomes asr. Dam that's absorbed within the meat, that doesn't become asr. That's not that. There's no iser there. So as long as I've washed out all the meat, all the blood that's on the outside of the meat, so I've taken care of my malicha problem, and I haven't taken care of.
Why is
it
different on Shabbos than it is for?
It's not different on Shabbos. No. That's what I said. We're learning Hilchos Malicha now.
Why do we do malicha?
Yeah.
So why do you do malicha? No, because if you cook the meat, so then the blood comes out.
Oh, I see. So in order to get but if you don't cook it, it's not a problem.
If you want to eat the raw meat, right, it would not be problem, I guess. Tosos asks, that's not exactly true. This Gemara is a Gemara in Chulin. So Tosos on Chulin asks this question. Tosos on Chulin says it's very nice that the person now has shechted meat, that fresh meat that he could eat, but what does he do about Malicha? Right? So Tosos gives two answers. Number one is, well, he violated Malicha. He forgot. And the second one.
So he did the Malicha.
He violated the Yisr.
The
Yisr, I think. Did he violate the Yisr Dan? Did he violate the Yisr Malicha?
Either way.
Situation. Yeah, he doesn't quote the whole Tosos here. Yeah, alright, we'll take a look. Right, I forgot what he said. He violated something. That's one answer to Tosos. The second answer to Tosos is this din, that the Tosos comes up with, sorry, one of the Gemara, Tosos is Machadish is din, that it's only dam sheperish that's a problem. It's not dam that's contained within the meat, so therefore we've avoided the Malicha Shaila here.
As long as you don't cook it.
As long as you don't cook it. Right, I mean, you can't cook it anyways, right? This is healthy guy. Healthy guy can't, healthy guy's not allowed to eat the cooked meat. How are you gonna open the package? It might be worse.
What's the problem?
What
about opening a package? Why would you be doing this on Shabbat anyway? I thought you're not supposed to shecht on Shabbat for
No, there's someone who's sick. There's someone who's desperate for meat. He's dying for meat. Literally.
But then he would be sick, so he would be allowed.
Right, but we're talking about the other person. Can his friend, who happened to be the shochet, can he eat the meat also? But you got this. Now you got this fresh piece of fresh cow laying there. It's just going to let it all go to waste. Okay, that's not right. Okay, so what does the Rama say? So the Rama then turns around. A couple more Mishaburis, I'm sorry. So Asher Rishabis, so Mishabur says, Val Mosi Shabbos Mutter Miyad, Velo Bin Lezebet Leshi Yas. It's Mutter right away, and if you don't require the amount of time, you don't require the Kadesh Yas, you don't require to wait the amount of time it would have taken you to do anyway. So why not? Remember, we had this last week already. Why don't you have to wait Kadesh Yas? Why don't we wait Kadesh Yas? So the idea of Kadesh Yasa was what? All right, what was the idea of Kadesh Yasa? Kadesh Yasa, okay, we learned about in Hilchos...
It's probably because they act here as winter.
In Hilchos Yontif. The act here is... The act itself was mutter. Okay, but... trying to remember what the case was in Yontif.
Not from it, but the act itself was mutter.
Right, I'm trying to remember what the case was in Yontif. We had in the preview... Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
They probably brought him fruit or something.
Right, the case was he brought him fruit, so... So there, why did he have to wait there? So there is talking about by Miral Akum. We don't want you to get used to this situation that, oh, right after Shabbos, I'll have fresh food. Or right after Pesach, I'll have fresh bagels. Right. So in order to avoid that problem, we're going to wait Kadesh Yasa. But here we have an unusual situation, and you want to wait till after whatever, so you don't have to worry about the Kadesh Yasa, because we're not worried about getting used to doing these kinds of things.
So you can't even salt the meat without intending to eat it. Just to preserve it, you can't do.
Oh,
that.
Well, that's an iser d'oraisa also. Right. Right, I'm sorry. There's another. Right, that's the iser of what ma'abit. One of the hide malachos is also right. You're not allowed to. That's an iser. So salt the meat to preserve it. That's also an iser on Shabbos. Fine. So it's right away mutter on Yontzei Shabbos. But ima imatav shel yachin b'shvil achol mutter gam b'shabbos. And taste it. Right, the Mishnah adds one kula here. Although you're not allowed to cook it, you're allowed to taste it. Just take a taste in order to make sure that it's good for the chola to eat. So that's even mutter to do on Shabbos. Okay. Just a taste, right? Famous last words on Friday afternoon. Just a taste. So she'ein bo sakana, right? If he's a chola, she'ein bo sakana. So the Mishnah Berurah says, right? The gam hu could bury all in yinzesh asum min haTorah levashal avurah ida Yisrael. The chayshin she natiru lech al mizesh am yar bishvil. That's an interesting Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says also asur for chola she'ein bo sakana. Now what's the din with a chola she'ein bo sakana? Regularly speaking, what is mutter for a chola she'ein bo sakana? Generally isuri derabanan, right? Isuri derabanan are mutter for what's going on here? So what's going on here? Here you cook this thing, right? You violate, you do it all. It's all mutter now, because you're doing it for a sick person. So now so my sick person had his beef stew, and he's good to go, right? He's all of a sudden, he's feeling great. He's just running around. He's doing fine. But meanwhile, I got this chola she'ein bo sakana, right? This chola, right? So what's the deal with the chola she'ein bo sakana? We're allowed to violate the rabbanon for him. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, am I allowed to violate this the rabbanon? Right, what's this derabanan? Right, I now have extra beef stew around. So that's usher. Right, that's usher to give to somebody who's healthy. Right, why is it usher to give to someone who's healthy? Shema yarbe b'shvilavus. You may increase on their behalf. Whenever the word shema is used, what does that mean? That means the din derabanan. Right, anytime that you say perhaps I may, whatever. Right, so that's a din derabanan. Right, so here, am I allowed to violate this derabanan on that person's behalf? So the Mishnah Berurah says no. Mishnah Berurah says not, because that's still Shema Yar Bishvil. I mean, the reason for the Takana applies for him almost more so, right? The Shema Yar Bishvil. I may for sure cook more on their behalf. So Mishnah Berurah says, you're not even allowed to have him eat the leftovers.
So a Chole Shernobuk Sakana is the same as a Bari. Is that right?
For this din.
For this din, yeah.
For this din. Dam Hu Kiberi, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Kinu Mabir Agra, right? Right. Fine. So what else do we got here? Shema Yarbe Bishvila, right? Right. Mishnah Berurah says, Litein Baso Tochakadeir Vizeo Issu D'Oraisa, right? To put an extra piece of meat into the pot, that's an Issu D'Oraisa, right? Kishem Arbe Bishvila. And Afilu, what does Mishnah Berurah say here? Afilu hu marbe bepam achas kodim shiten hagadeir aleish. And even if you add it all in just one time before you put on the fire, he still says that that's D'Oraisa. Right. Also, to do that is an issur d'oraisa, the marbe on behalf of another person. Why should that be? I'm not sure. I wasn't able to see.
How would you know how much the chola is going to eat? How much?
No. But if I say, look, this is a chola here, how much can he possibly eat? Right. So I put in for him.
Okay.
Right. And now I put in more. For sure, the chola is not going to eat. Let's say I intend that. Okay. Now I'm cooking for Shmerel. I'll cook for Beryl. I'll cook for Yankel. I'll cook for Harry. Right, so do I violate an issur d'oraisa, or do I violate an issur d'rabanan for that?
Why wouldn't
you do it? You are being marbe.
I am being marbe, but I'm only doing it one time. I mean, I'm putting it's not on the fire right now. I'm going to put it all on the fire at once. Do I violate Nisa Doraisa or do I violate Nisa Dorabana? Because I'm
taking an extra half a pound of meat that I wouldn't have cooked otherwise.
Right. But I'm only doing one act of vishal, and my one act of vishal is mutter.
Is your intention that everything is for the chole?
No.
What's the actual act of vishal? Putting something on the fire.
That's a deep question. That's the act of vishal. But we'll assume for our purposes that taking a pot full of meat and putting it on the fire with the intention of it sitting there for 20 minutes, and it also sits there for 20 minutes, the act of vishal is violated when I put it on the fire.
Well, the rabbis say Shema. They're saying you might do something that's against the Torah. That's
right, right.
So apparently putting more in is against
the Torah. Right, but there's two ways of putting more in. Right, I could put more in when it's on the fire already. Right. Then I'm violating this for every carrot I throw in. Okay. Right, or I could put it all in a pot while it's off the fire, and then put the whole thing on the fire at once.
Yeah, one avera.
So it's one avera, but the act was mutter though. Right? The act was mutter. Is that an isidu rice or is it an isidu rabbanit? So the Mishnah Berurah here has a machlokas. Right? The Mishnah Berurah here says that he thinks that, right, he says, even if you do it one time, in one act, that's also usir. But then he says, v'yishom d'havi d'rabbanan. But there are some that say that it's d'rabbanan, kevan shehuva pamachas. So it's only done once, ayin v'beis yosi. But then he quotes, v'ayin b'sifri avas chesed. Look in avas chesed v'perek zayin. Shabiyan rai me gemar d'ikr k'deir rishon. Where I prove that the ikr is a deir rishon. I looked up, I happen to have an avas chesed. I happen to have a very nice edition of avas chesed. And there's a very long footnote on the din of whether or not whether it's usser to go to someone's house to retrieve your collateral. That's what he's talking about there. And no, during the week, that's what he's talking about. And the footnote has a long footnote where he gets into a discussion about the Gemara and Pesachim about am I allowed to walk down an alley even though I know I'm going to smell a Avodah Zarah if there's no other way for me to go. So he does not quote Hilchos Shabbos in that footnote, in that very long footnote. So how to extrapolate from that to here, I did not have the time to figure out. But okay. Fine. So then comes the Rama. Back in Shulchan Aruch comes the Rama. V'afilu bishel alidei einu Yehudi. What about to cook by a non-Jew? Right, aser b'Shabbos. That's also aser on Shabbos. V'im katzatz. What's it talking about? What case? Right, for a burial, he had no spimenu for a healthy person to benefit from it. Okay, so afil bishal idei inu yehudi aser b'Shabbos, it's prohibited on Shabbos. In katzatz perus min hamechubar l'chol b'Shabbos afilu hayachola mi ba'od yom aser l'beria b'Shabbos mishum shegadol v'cholich b'Shabbos v'yesh bo mishum moksa. Right, and if he cut fruit from something that was connected to the ground for a chola on Shabbos, afilu hayachola mi ba'od yom, even if the person was sick the day before, that's aser l'beria b'Shabbos, that's prohibited to a beria on Shabbos, mishum shegadol v'cholich b'Shabbos, v'yesh bo mishum moksa, because it perhaps grew on Shabbos, and that has an iser of moksa.
What grew?
The
cut-off fruit?
Or you cut it off.
Yeah, before it grew up.
But that seems to be the same thing with an animal.
Yeah, why is that the same? Why is that different than the animal? I knew the question that was going to come up. So I would assume that the distinction is... Here, the Mishnah Berurah says why. The Mishnah Berurah says, Mibaod Yom, Mishnah Berurah Tesvav, Ratzalomer v'haya b'dayto mibaod yom liksos ha'pri b'Shabbos. And even if you had in mind while it was still day to cut the fruit on Shabbos, afilu hachi aser, even so it would be aser. Why? Mifnei she'ein hachan hu elas klal b'mechubar. Because hachana never works for something that's connected to the ground, ki yotzi b'zeh, shehu gadol v'holich b'Shabbos, because it could, grow on Shabbos. Shu gadol v'hol, it grows on Shabbos. About prisha nigbar bishulo, but if the fruit was completely ripe, v'shuv ein gidol v'holich mo'elos bo, and it's not going to grow anymore, and there's no hachana, v'holich mo'elos bo hachana, apal pishu hu mechubar. v'shuv ein gidol v'holi mu'eles bo hachana. The hachana would work for it, even though it's still connected. But the chola that was sick on that day is prohibited to, for the beria to get hana from it because of the idea that it's muksa for the fact that it was actually mechubar. Okay.
So the guy who's buried, the hachana doesn't help.
Right, by a fruit.
Unless it's fully
right. I can't tell what he's saying here. He seems to be saying more. The fact that it's mechubar is worse than the fact that the animal is than the animal, which makes sense actually. Because the animal, while it's alive, you can make the case that it's not muksa either. A fruit, while it's connected to the tree, you can't make that case. Right, a fruit connected to the tree is impossible to say that it's not muksa. The idea that it might grow more, perhaps that you could get around. The idea that it's not muksa is you're not going to be able to get around. Okay, so the Rama raised
an interesting point here.
The Rama raised the point of what about if it was cooked by a non-Jew? So remember, this Shiloh came up when I was in Riverdale. Someone was making a big kiddush. And the person was, and they realized during Bein Hashmashos that the food was not, that the crock pots weren't plugged in. So they ran down to the one of the other assistant rabbi was, not here, Eitan Cohn's Rebbe in Israel last year. Was then working with me in the Israel Jewish Center, and they asked him if it's okay, what they could do about it. So they quickly ran down to get the doorman, Amir El Akum, during Bein Hashmashos, the Tzorek Rabim, maybe, to plug it in. Okay, so perhaps Al Pi Amir El Akum, it's okay. The kasha is, but isn't there's another problem when you ask a non-Jew to cook something for you, namely Bishul Akum. Right, so was that shulent, was it subject to the laws of Bishul Akum? So there is a again, if you Bishul Hadeinu Yehudi Aser Bishabbos, even if that's prohibited on Shabbos, because what's that then? Right. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah here, he says here, Aser b'Shabbos, Liberi lihenos v'imet. Right. Our din in our Ramah, where it says even if it was cooked by a non-Jew, it's Aser on Shabbos. Rashi, the Mishnah Berurah says Liberia for the healthy guy to get hana from it. About Motzei Shabbos, it would be mutter immediately. V'taimu, the reason is the kiyum te'enu Yehudi bishul beheter, because the non-Jew cooked it beheter lo by lahamtim b'chdei. So you don't have to wait the amount of time necessary to make it. V'gam lo baz gazu bazeh. And there's also no gezeira that was made of Bishul Akum. There's no gezeira Bishul Akum in this case, and he's quoting from the Gra. So let me point to the last simon, the last sif in Hilchos Bishul Akum in Yeridaya has the following din. The Mishnah Chaver talks about, I think we talked about this a little bit last week for some reason, that kalim that were cooked, that if a non-Jew used vessels, right, so do those foods become, do you need to machsher those vessels? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a dispute, right, so Machlokas, Rashpa, and Ra'ah, running dispute in Hilchos Bishul Akum, whether the food is considered low plug as if it's treif, or do we consider the food, do we look at each case and say, well, is the fear of chasnus applicable here? Chasnus is intermarriage. The whole gezerah of Bishul Akum was made because of intermarriage, right?
Chasnus.
Right. That's the language of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right? So the whole gezerah of Bishul Akum was made because of fear of intermarriage. So if we can somehow construct a way that we don't have that fear anymore, right, perhaps the Bishul Akum might not apply anymore. So the so the Ra'ah says that's true, that if for whatever reason there's no concern of intermarriage. What would be an example of that? So the blios of the pot, right? The non-Jew cooks in a pot and cleans it all out and gives it back to you, right? So now, is there a concern that I'm going to taste the absorptions in the pot and I'm going to become so attracted to this person and say, oh wow, that was amazing, I want to marry you because the blios, the absorptions in the pot are delicious. So it's not a concern, the ra'as, it's not a concern. I don't have to worry about bishulakum in that case, right? Or the ger case, right? The case of the non-Jew who has leftovers, right? So the non-Jew now has leftovers, he has children leftovers from the previous Shabbos when he wasn't Jewish, and now he is Jewish, right? So he's allowed to eat his leftovers from the previous Shabbos. So perhaps the Ra'ah would say, yeah, he's not going to marry himself, there's no concern. While the Mishnah Berurah would say, or his wife who made the food converted with him, and it's a good idea for them to want them to marry each other because the hope is for them to now remarry, etc.
His wife didn't convert.
Right, if the wife didn't convert, that might be a bigger problem, yes. So,
no problem, because there's no fear of chasness, because the chasness has already taken place.
That's the other... The first... When I got to Phoenix, like, that night, this is wild. One of the first days I was there, someone in the shul was going to buy me a computer. That was part of the deal. They were going to buy me a computer. So the guy picks me up, and he said, oh, wait, I want to stop in my house. I knew that he was intermarried. I want to stop in my house first. I need to get the coupon or something. So we get to his house. He goes inside, comes back out. He gets into the car. He says to me, it's a good thing we just stopped in the house. My wife wanted to start cooking for Shabbos, and I needed to turn on the fire. Like, whoa.
From whatever.
New world. Okay.
But that does make sense. We know people like this.
It's bizarre.
We know
what
we know
it
takes like that.
Right. First night. So that's the Rashba says. No, the Rashba is low plug. Once it's
where did my kashu?
He's from Guy.
He's from Guy Maritan.
Yeah. We'll talk about another time off the record. Right. So
turning on the fire makes it not bishulat.
Right. The truth is, he was Israeli. He was probably Sephardi. So, whatever. But anyways, that's machlokas ra'ah and rash. But the rash holds, then no. Once it's strafe, low plug. We treat it that way. So the last ramah deals with the following case: Obi kocham shebashal lechol b'Shabbos. Right, in our case, and Obi kocham cooks for a chol on Shabbos. Mutter l'mosei Shabbos. It's permissible mosei Shabbos. Afil liberi of ebo mishum bishul akum. We don't have to worry about bishul akum. The chol kai gavna hekera heka, because there's always a heker in this case. That's what the Ramah concludes, right? If a non-Jew cooked for whatever reason on Shabbos, so the Ramah concludes that it is mutter. Why is it mutter? So the Ramah says because there is a heker, because there is something that's recognizable as to the fact that it is different. So what's going on here? So why is the Ramah muttering it? Right? So Kasha is the Ramah is muttering it because he holds like the Ra'ah? Right? So that's a problem, because we don't really hold like the Ra'ah. And you have to ask a question on the Ramah. Why are you all of a sudden passing like the Ramah? But like the Ra'ah. But perhaps, maybe he really holds like the Rashba, and perhaps this is an exception to the rule. Perhaps for whatever reason, cooking on Shabbos would be an exception to the rule. They're not just cooking for you on Shabbos, so we're not worried about chasos. Well, it's clear why they're cooking for you. They're cooking for you because you can't have a Jew cook for you. Right? But then why is that different than the Ra'ah's case? Right, why is that difficult? The Rashba would say, it doesn't matter, low plug. Why all of a sudden here does the low plug fall away?
So the Ra'ah's case is if there's a hecker...
The Ra'ah's sheet is, for whatever reason, chasnus wouldn't apply, Bishul Akum doesn't apply. So
don't
apply.
We have Bismarcku, that Indian with regard to big factory food? That mishum chasnus, there's not a problem.
There is something that's used as a kula. I think that's part of the tuna fish issue.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
Tuna fish is smoked. So it's a kasha whether smoking is subject to bishul akum. It's not smoked. It's steamed. Sorry, steamed is a further machlok is whether it's subject. And so therefore we put that together with the fact, I think Rav Shech has an article about tuna fish where he says, and you're not even going to be able to find the guy in Puerto Rico who cooked that tuna fish.
Philippines.
whatever. So that's one of the reasons to be, but it's used. I mean, the ra'ah is sometimes used as a claw, meaning as a sniff leheter, what we call it, meaning it's a tzad, like, I mean, it's one of the reasons. We're never going to be makel just on the ra'ah, but we could add in, and maybe the ra'ah is right, and therefore, whatever, one of the ways of being makel in Bishul Akum. But why here? What about in this case? Would the Rashba, perhaps, could we figure out a way for the Rashba to be makel in the case of Shabbos? So if we look here at the bottom, I mean, look at the Nosek Hiel themselves, this is a Sefer Chelkos Ben Yamin. If anybody's heard of the Sefer Badei HaShulchan on Yerideya, so Badei Shulchan is one of the classic modern Sfarim on Yerideya, as written in the style of the Mishnah Berurah, where Mishnah Berurah is on Aruch Chaim, so the Badei Shulchan, Rabbi Feivel Cohn, in Smicha we used to call him Feivel the Body Cohn. Whatever. Forget it. So he wrote a sefer on Yerideya, a running commentary on Yerideya for Hilchos Basar V'Cholav and Hilchos Taruvus and now with Hilchos Avelus as well. And his son wrote a sefer on Bishul Akum and on some of the other parts of Bishul Akum of Binyamin Kohn. This is his sefer, Hilchos Binyamin. So here he quotes the Achronim who deal with the, he quote the Ramah. They say, wait a second, why is he also in passing like the Ra'ah? And he says that most the Taz and the Gra and others held that he was held to be machmer in this case. They held that the Ramah was passed according to the Ramah. We don't pass him like that Ramah. And then the story. The Shachar was makel by the Ra'ah. So why would the Shachar be makel? Why would anybody be makel? So I remember doing a lot of work on this once upon a time, and I couldn't find my notes from it, I forgot, but the svara that I came up with today, that I couldn't find inside, I meant to find it, that there's a big difference between the Shabbos case and the Blios case, or the Shabbos case and why would Shabbos perhaps be different? So, for instance, according to the Nosei Kalim here, there even though the Taz even says, I think the Taz, that if the non-Jew cooked for the Jew on Shabbos, right? So the Jew's allowed to eat it on Shabbos, and then Motzei Shabbos, even the Chol is not allowed to eat it anymore, right? Shabbos is over. There's no need to eat the Bishul Akum anymore, right? So the Chol is not allowed to eat it anymore. Throw all the Bishul Akum out. So why here, why Shabbos be different? So I thought the difference is because Shabbos, it's mutter for a while. Meaning, in order to say that the Shabbos case is, I mean, by blios, right, you cook Bishul Akum, the food is usher, the isser gets absorbed into the pots, and it's always, it's usher, it's always been usher, it's going to continue to be usher, right? By Shabbos, you got to make a little bit more of a backflip, right? It was cooked beheter, right? It was cooked for a Jew beheter, right? He was allowed to cook it at that point. In our case, because the person was a chola or chola shein bo sakana, or in the Riverdale case, because it was l'tzorach rabim and l'tzorach hefsek meruba and it was bein hashmashos, right? So he came up with kulas there. So he cooked it beheter. It was mutter full of Shabbos, and now all of a sudden you got to declare that Amabdim and Kosh Lachol, but Ora Kosh by Yisrael La'amim, and being Bishul Akum, being Bishul Yisrael. Right? All of a sudden, it was Mutter, and now all of a sudden, it's becoming Usher just because the clock strikes midnight. So that's a more difficult thing to say, right? So perhaps that's why I thought maybe in this case, even the Rashba might be making in this case, because if he cooked it in a way that it would be Mutter, right, and now it's just becoming us because Shabbos is over. So that's already a little too far.
But on Shabbos, when you have a chole, there's a tzorech. There's a tzorech.
Right.
You have a bishat tchak.
Right.
So doesn't that rationalize? So once Shabbos is over, there's an alternative way of getting of fulfilling that tzorech.
Right. That's what the machmirim say.
Yeah.
Right. So you being a stringent one. we're passing that way, yeah. But however, the Ramah is saying that it's mutter. So I want to know why it's still mutter. Why is this case different than the other cases? So I think that perhaps the answer could be is that the other cases, right, it was usher all along, and it continues to be usher, right? By the ger, right? The ger cooks it, so it's mutter for him because he's not Jewish, but it's not kosher for a Jew, right? And now that he's Jewish, he continues to not be kosher for a Jew, and now he happens to be on the other side of the fence, and now it continues to be in the status that it was in. But by the Bishul Akum case, it's it continues to it was mutter, and now just because Shabbos is over, it becomes aser again. That's already a little bit too far. Many knows the kelim say like you, Mark, but perhaps we could defend the Ramah in such a way. So I remember when I asked after Shabbos is over. So I asked this Asher Sobolowski. I remember I was standing on 186th Street when I asked him the question. By the time we got to the answer, we were in room 101 in across from the Beis Medrash. That was a block and a half walk, it was a keeping count. And we went through this whole svara here about the Ramah.
Where
on 186th
Street?
What? No, pretty much at the corner. Not that far, a block and a half, not that long. But we were talking most of the way about this Ramah, about whether you could make it, unless it came or mach, or some are make it, maybe come. And finally, at the end, he turns to me and says, wait a second, why are we even discussing this? Who says that chulant is roy l'shulchan malachim? Right? What is that then? Right, one of the qualifications for something to be bishalakum, it has to be what we call roy l'shulchan malachim. It has to be fit for the table of a king. So how do you translate fit for the table of the king? So that is a big question. There's a famous Chazon Ish, a story about the Chazon Ish, that Rav Schwab asked the Chazon Ish about sardines, and the Chazon Ish said that sardines are roy l'shulchan malachim, because he knows that the Queen of England eats sardines for breakfast. Right, so that's a big chumrah, because that means that anything that a king eats is royal l'shulchan malachim, right? So if Barack Obama decides to eat nachos, right? So all of a sudden nachos are royal l'shulchan malachim. So that's a big chumrah. Most don't
assume. Reagan something like pork rinds or something like that.
Right.
The president became
popular.
Yeah. Okay.
One like gumdrops, or
jelly beans. Somebody ate jelly beans.
Or Bush choked on a pretzel. I think this might have been right around when Bush choked on that famous pretzel that he choked on.
You have to be born to it, I think.
Right. So that's the other. Maybe you're not a king, but I'm sure there are the other kings. Whatever. That's a big chumra. Most assume that royal shulchan malachim means that it'll be served at a banquet. So the question is, would shul never be served at a banquet? I don't know. It's served at our Shabbos.
Kiddush.
I don't know if Kiddush would qualify as shulchan malachim, but that was so we see between this Ramah, between the question about whether children was really royal shulchan malachim, so we thought that it would sound the bishalachim issue.
So bishalachim, is that derabbanan?
Right. Bishalachim is for sure derabbanan.
Okay.
So
otherwise, I can limit it. So
right.
Where is this Ramah? I can't find it yet.
The Ramah, the Ramah very quickly says, "I feel bishul al yedei einu Yehudi aser b'Shabbos."
Yeah,
meaning for someone else who's not for someone else, he's talking about. He's not talking about the bishul
al yedei. Implying that it's not
right. He's not really talking about. He's not really talking about the bishul akum. You gotta go here for the bishul akum. You gotta go to Hilchos bishul akum for the bishul akum.
Okay, so
right. The Mishnah Brura mentions of Abba Motzei Shabbos Mutter Miyad. That's the mission process. Okay?